Log Talk Radio.
Well, good evening and welcome to The Man's Voice here on this Sunday afternoon. But because of the holiday, we are going to be playing one of our previous shows. So if you just stay tuned and we'll be listening to one of our previous shows. So the book, here we go. Well, good evening, and welcome to The Man's Voice. Tonight, in some parts of the country, I understand it's been very sunny, but here up in the Georgia area, it's been kind of cloudy. But I want to say hello to the panelists. I mean, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys on the line with me right now, and that's good for us. What's up, guys?
Hey,
what's up, man?
It's sunny in Michigan.
It's sunny in California.
Yeah, that, I can imagine that. All right, so let's just get into it. There's a bunch of callers on trying to get in too, so that's good. But let's just get this way out of the way. This impeachment thing, I know that we had a lot of discussion about this last week, so I just want to do 5 minutes at the most and then get it gone. But one of the things that came up was now there is another whistleblower who came forward. So, and the one of the things is that Trump is in lots of trouble because it's not only that Ukraine, because now they're saying China. And one of the things that Trump had put out there was in Ukraine, one of the conditions for visiting the House was to hear all about Biden's son and stuff. So that was an issue. But anyway, so, I just think it's kind of crazy that we have a president of the United States that's trying to get dirt on everybody. I mean, we have our own people. We've got the CIA, FBI, and everybody. But anyway, I want to get you guys' views on a lot of that. Let's start with Michael. What is your view on what's going on with this impeachment thing? Because now there's a couple of other people. And I don't want to get into, you know, he said, she said. I just want to say, for America, what is your thought?
Well, coincidentally, last night, first of all, I have to say hi to everybody, and thanks for having me on the panel again. I was watching this on CNN last night, coincidentally, about the Nixon impeachment, and it just so parallel things that are currently going on with Donald Trump impeachment with the special counsel and his Rudy Giuliani headline was deemed and all the corruption. And the same way Nixon stepped down, in my heart, I'm just thinking Donald Trump, and I'm hoping that he'll just go step down every time.
There has been a couple of his staffers who said they're thinking that's the way it's going to go. But I'm not sure. What about you? Let's see, Bruce, what do you think?
You have to be kidding. He's not going to step down. He is bravado, I'll give you that, meaning a lot of the things he says he shouldn't say, probably things he should let others do for him, he doesn't. He's kind of large and in charge because from a business sense of his background, not being a legislator, that's probably the way he operated. But so he can be his own worst enemy. You've heard me say that. But for him to think that he's done something impeachable, the furthest thing from his mind.
You're right. What about you, Darius? What do you think?
I think it's a terrible thing for the country. I think the Democrats have destroyed the faith in American people. And I think this whole, the faith in the justice system. But I think this whole idea about, if you're running for president, you can't expose corruption because that's called digging up dirt. His job and his duty as the president of the United States is to expose our government colluding with foreign governments in corrupt activities. Now, I agree with what Ruth said. You know, there are other people that he should let handle that, and he's probably his own worst enemy in that regard. He should just let the Justice Department handle it. But when you've been under as much fire as he's been, and you've just been unjustly accused of everything from treason to rape to, this guy is probably at his wit's end. He's like, you know what, I can't hold back any longer. But if anybody thinks for any second he's going to resign, you guys got another thing coming. His polls actually went up. He's, for the first time, he's at 50% approval rate. So he's not going anywhere. And that's the difference with Nixon. Nixon lost the support of the American people and the Republican Party. President Trump has only garnered even more support. So that's the
I don't know where you're getting your news from, but according to CNN, that's not true. According to CNN, most American people really want him to go. So I don't know.
Well, I'm getting ready to give you my reference. Yeah, what if he had polls just showed him at 50%? Over 60% of all Americans do not want to teach him. So maybe that's a CNN internal poll. I'm just telling you about the polls I've seen. His support has gone up. His fundraising has gone up big time. He's raised more in 3 days than Joe Biden raised in the whole quarter. So he's garnering even more support. So I don't see this impeachment causing him to go.
Well, you get harder to give you half of your money back. I mean, you call that raising the money. But anyway, what is it? We were talking about the impeachment of the president, and you threw in there the Democrats destroyed the country, or they're the ones going to the country. We weren't talking about that. Why did you throw that in there?
About how it's affecting the country. So I was saying, by them playing these political games, they're destroying the country, tearing the country apart, because it's all political. It's not criminal at all. They don't have any crime at all that's committed.
But isn't that the reason why they have these panels to figure out if there was or wasn't? So you don't think this that could be happening?
I think that's not why you have that. That's not a panel. If you're talking about impeachment inquiry. You don't have an impeachment inquiry to determine if there's a crime. You have an impeachment inquiry to investigate if there is a crime, if the crime is high enough for an impeachment. And then you're supposed to take a vote in the House to do that. And they haven't, which proves that's just political.
And David, if I could add something to what Darius just said, when you've got let's call it the general news services, the three main ones, 95% of the time after it's high, he has to either tweet himself, go to the other polls that are maybe either slanted to the right, or at least trying to be down the middle, and any other way, because he's getting inundated with all this bad news. He's not getting impartial news. I think he'd be happy if it was impartial or down the middle, but it's not.
It's not.
Yeah, I was going to say, last week I mentioned something I just have to repeat myself. Every time we point to the misjustice and the wrongdoing that Trump is doing, the first thing the right always goes, well, the Democrats did it, well, what Obama did, and he just did it again today. I just got to point that out. Every time we shine a light on this president, your only rebuttal is, well, when the Democrats did it, two wrongs do not make a right.
No, nobody said the Democrats did anything. He just said he's got to put out what he thinks is a fair message also. So if the foil that he's fighting against is the Democratic Party and the mainstream press, he's got to mention them. They're the foe. They're the ones that are trying to the country, and I guess we'll find out when it's when the vote comes in November of next year, who's right, who's wrong.
But there are several GOP senators and congressional who are all now joining the side of the Democrats. So you can't say it's just Democrats. And then you said that he didn't say it was Democrats or anything, but he did say that Democrats are destroying the country by doing this kind of a thing. So
yeah,
I think wasn't the question. Great. Well, you guys are good at
speaking. You got to answer the question.
Yeah, but you the question was, the question says you don't have to always blame. Well, I don't think this. Why is this a blame game? Why is this
exactly?
Like, why are we not speaking on what is the issue? What do we have to do? Let's get this done and get it over with. If that's the deal, why do we have to point fingers back and forth? I don't understand.
I would venture to say, David, if they both got away from the blame game, both sides in the middle, and just tried to do it respectfully on here's what I stand for, here's what they stand for, or, you know, each one.
And accept responsibility.
But that's not going to happen, is it?
Okay, but can you just at least admit that Donald Trump reached out to a foreign adversary for help on his political opponent? Can you just at least admit that's exactly what he did? Because even he admits that's what he did.
Darius, you might want to jump in.
That doesn't mean his supporters are going to admit that either. You know, he might admit it, but his supporters, diehard supporters, they might not admit that.
But he said he could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and the people who support him would still support him. And he's absolutely right. He's making that argument right now. So what would it take for his supporters to turn on him? I'm just curious to know. Would he have to embrace minorities? I think that's what it would take for his supporters to turn their back on him, for him to accept and embrace minorities.
I didn't care anything.
I think if he gave Obama a hug on national TV, his base would turn.
No. I gave a Mexican gentleman a hug.
If he gave a Mexican gentleman a hug on national TV, his supporters would turn on him. I think that's the only way his supporters would turn on him.
I don't think that would happen either, as far as turning on. He could hug anybody, anytime, any place if he wants to, and his face wouldn't abandon him.
Well,
so what would it take? What would it take to abandon him?
I'll tell you what I think it would take, and it's the way things should go. If it was absolutely or actually proven by using facts and information, not in your way of making things up in generalities, that he was truly guilty, and these are the reasons why, and they satisfy those reasons, and he is truly guilty, then he, and it's an impeachable offense, then he should be impeached. And
so what bigger fact do you need than him saying himself he did it? What bigger fact do you need?
He did ask for the nomenclature is, you're saying it's an impeachable thing that he asked to dig up dirt. As Darius said, he said, I think there's been some corruption here. You say, I meaning the president, I'm guilty of all kinds of corruption. The moment I try to point out corruption on other people, you're all over me because they're Democrats or whatever, or anybody for that matter. How is he supposed to research it? He can't ask anybody for information, and as I said earlier, I think maybe he should not have done it personally. He should have done it through a proper channel. But he's street savvy. He's not smooth like a politician is, and boy, he proves that every day.
But I can't go, well, maybe I shouldn't have robbed that bank. Yeah, but I can't go, well, maybe I shouldn't have robbed that bank because I'm not really street savvy and get away with it. You committed a crime, you committed a crime.
Okay, I think my point is calling a foreign country and asking for dirt a crime. I don't see that as being a crime. I think it is not politically savvy. And I think that people are concerned that he is not bright enough to be president of the United States, that these are the things that he's doing. Because he just didn't do it with Ukraine. causing problems within the countries themselves. So I
David,
guess, yeah.
Why do you keep calling it dirt? You call it dirt because that's how it's been defined by some people. What if someone else defines it as, I think there's something out there. I need to uncover it. It's my duty as a president to do it. Again, maybe he should not have done it personally because he doesn't pick the right words to use. And heaven knows they're looking at every word he looks at to see if it has some double meaning that he should have gone through the other channel to get it. But why do you find it as dirt when he's trying to possibly trying to find out if there wasn't corruption and something done improperly?
Because he was asking why asking about the only thing he's ever asked about were people who were running against him and challenging him for his position as president of the United States. So he's trying to find things that are negative, not positive. So it's there.
I'll give the Democrats.
Hello?
Uh oh.
There
we lost you.
I see the a lot of the press, Fox Press, is pressing it that this is an impact of the Black Lives Matter piece, and that's why a police officer got convicted. If it wasn't for the Black Lives Matter going around, that thing happening with Black Lives Matter, this would have never happened to a police officer. But the police officer killed somebody, but I don't understand the spin on that. Tell me, what are you thinking about that, Bruce? What do you think about that?
I'm glad you asked me, because just words you're using, you're saying the press is this and the spin on that. If, again, as you've heard me say over and over again, the press will not do their job. They will not present the facts. They want to present their opinion. That's not what they're supposed to do. Granted, there's people on TV now that are opinion people, but the true news people have disappeared. Fox does somewhat of a better job, at least calling on bringing opposing views, but they're not perfect. You know, nobody's perfect. But I watch our channel, and you watch the other regular newscasts. They are just all over them all the time. They never even present a point of view, even though they have their own slant. I
watch all
the time.
Well, I disagree with that, because I see Giuliani on CNN all the time. I only watch CNN, and I always have different views on CNN. So that's not true. CNN plays both sides of the argument. And in regards to her case, I feel that 5 to 10 years were near enough. And to hear Fox News spin it and say it's because of Black Lives Matter, that's their way of saying that it's just okay to kill black men. It's okay. Shouldn't get punished for. That's all I hear when I watch Fox News and they weigh in on that case. So it's really
I watch Fox News.
That was just for everyone else what happened if you do if you cough against a police officer, this is what's going to happen to you. That doesn't have to be before the case. That happens after the case to make a point. I think
right.
It is
after the case. Exactly, because he was actually sentenced.
Right.
But,
gentlemen,
that's just a theory like any other theory. It's
wait,
a supposition.
Say,
it's not a fact.
Wait, come on. We can't sit here and say it's a theory or a fact. The point is someone's life was taken because
absolutely.
Of this same situation. You know what I mean? But I'm not too sure if it's a theory or it's a fact, but I know someone one's life was taken, and that's very important for his family.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more. All I'm saying is we're supposing what the orders were, the situations when we don't know. And the press, as a general statement, sure doesn't help us find out what it really is. I'm waiting. Have any of you heard in this case, remember the brother that was very emotional and wanted to forgive the police officer and hugged her in the court, and you heard all the positive things about, wow, what an act of forgiveness and all this and that. But has anybody heard any backlashes from any side, any color, anybody, any news press that says he had some kind of ulterior motive to doing it? I hope not, because I believe the young man was really sincere in what he did.
There's a lot of backlash to that.
What is the backlash, David? What is it?
Well, the mother said it wasn't time for him to do that. She didn't want the wrong picture painted that the family forgave the police officer for killing her son. So the mother came out of the trash, first of all, that she thought she didn't mind what he was doing, but it wasn't the right time to do it. Maybe after
he even said, I'll probably get in trouble, meaning, I guess, his own family for doing this, but I'm going to do it. That's his right. He could never forgive her and be vehemently upset or do what he did or something in between. He's his own person.
Okay, you're right,
he's
but all of that was wanted was first and first. You know, the priority was the trial. Just like anybody else, if one of our family members were killed, we want to see that person be put to death. So the family concern was, you know, justice happening. After that, you know, you still got time to talk about forgiveness.
Well, I think the brother was wrong. If a police officer went to my brother's apartment and murdered him, I'm not going to hug her. I'm not going to forgive her. So I think it was out of line. I think he's just searching for publicity. I think he's looking for a book deal to be coming out.
Maybe he wants to be a cop. Who knows?
Maybe he wants to write a book. He's looking to cash in on his brother's death, and he's out of line.
And maybe he wants to be a cop.
You guys are so wrong right now, really. You have to just know that. Well, I'm saying you don't agree with it. That's not what you want to do. But it doesn't mean he's his own man, like Bruce said. Like,
no,
you guys are criticizing him for showing. You guys are criticizing him.
We're talking about
for
the possibility of what happened.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You said he's wrong. You said he's trying to get a book deal. He's trying to be a cop. Like, you this guy of all things. Other than when he said that he was a Christian and in his heart, he believed that's what his brother would have wanted. Why can't that just be the end of it?
Okay, do you think Fred Goldman would go hug O.J. Simpson right now?
Gentlemen, I have a caller on the line from the 850 area code that wants to join the conversation. Ma'am, what did you want to say?
Oh, hi. My name is Deb. I just wanted to add that I think it's a little hard to pass judgment on the brother and what he said. He could honestly be better, and there's nothing anyone else can do about it. But that doesn't mean that it justifies her actions. And certainly by sentencing, even if they sentenced her to life in prison, it wouldn't equate to the loss that he feels in not having his brother. And I understand where, you know, some people are used to having family members die young because of a certain community that they live in. And that's all around this entire country. And some people really experience loss when their parents, you know, die of old age or someone serves in the military. But when you literally think of losing someone in the blink of an eye, it creates a whole different level of emotion. So I think that, yes, he probably sure did hurt. However, no amount of justice would be able to sustain for his loss of his brother. So I think that, yes, he forgives him, and he knows that over time he's going to get to that place. He may not. He may end up being old and better. We'll never know, but only time can tell to justify who's going to be right, who's going to be wrong. So I feel like, at the end of the day, since we are Christian, or we consider ourselves a Christian country, if we believe in forgiveness, we also don't judge others either. And the only person who is going to be allowed to judge us will be God. And that's all.
Yeah, that's right. Well said.
Very well said.
Okay, very well said, but I gotta add
I just have one thing to say. Very well said, but at the end you said, you know, about judging. When it seems like a trend when police officers or men and women in law enforcement were judging men, judging black men based on their physical characteristics. Oh, he's aggressive. Let me pull my weapon. He might kill me. Let me shoot. And he has no weapon. Stuff like that. So. I mean, I think judgment has been scrutinized when you say judgment.
Well, I know, I agree. Judgment has been on everybody's part. Whether you're judging Bill Clinton for getting the disconnect in the Oval Office, or you're judging Donald Trump for what he's doing now, it's all, like, no matter what, at the end of the day, we can't depend on what others think. Because at the end of the day, there's only one judge. I'm not going to say.
Okay, and I was going to add to that.
You got to pass that all around to everybody. That goes for everybody.
Okay, I want to add to that this. I know, I personally myself, I know black men who've gotten 20 years in prison for marijuana. And this woman gets 10 years for taking her life. I think that's just a problem on so many levels. Because if she been a black man and killed a white woman, there's no way he would have just gotten off for just for 10 years. I think it's just a racist, biased, apartheid criminal justice system in America. And I think we just say, well, we just got to leave it up to the man upstairs. I just don't agree with that anymore. As they've been saying that too long. That does not work.
Yeah.
We got to take the ball out of the bar.
Have spent undeserved years in prison. So many people are dead because of someone's actions that's supposed to be held to a higher standard.
But,
Michael, where do you stand? If you look around at a lot of the major cities these days, there are a lot of African American or other
black crime.
Likely, five times more likely to be killed by a black cop than you are a white cop.
Now, or why is what you've seen the statistic, you probably read
something like a conclusion of why this happened. What kind of conclusion did that statistic give you of why this happened?
Well, they didn't give that. I happen to have a notion of why. And one of the reasons why is what I'm trying to relate to you guys right now. Like, you guys are thinking that I'm taking up from another side of the story. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to present something where we can look at internally, we look at ourselves. Because what's happening now is we're not solving anything by talking about how unfair the judicial system is, how white people out kill us, how white cops out to kill black people. The main problem with black people, the biggest problem is black people. And the reason why that's the problem is because we shun responsibility. If everybody else is at fault, we don't have responsibility for our community, and we don't accept responsibility for our actions and our lack of family children. That's why. And as long as we don't have this country, then
Okay, Bruce, why don't you handle that one?
I'm not really sure how to phrase it, so I guess I'll have to pass the baton.
Yeah, I would love to weigh in on that one because I live here in California where the homeless problem is out of control. It's a big deal here. And I've always said it had to do with foreign money because, like they said, that foreign money comes in here and buys up the properties and raises the rent on American citizens and forces those American citizens out onto the street. It was owned by a guy from South Korea, Mr. Lee. Mr. Lee didn't care for America getting pushed out of his building onto the street. All he cared about was raising the rent so he can send that money back home to South Korea. So I think the foreign money coming into our market is really, really hurting America in a major way. I'm glad to see it slowing down.
You think that indirectly it could be the buying back America by Americans in some degree?
No, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't agree with that.
Maybe that's wishful thinking.
Yeah, I think in a perfect world, I think we should ban foreign money from coming in purchasing property until we get this homeless situation under control. Because like I said, a guy from South Korea who owns a property here, he could care less if some American veteran is getting kicked out of his property and can't pay the rent. He could care less. But if an American citizen owns that property, he never veteran get kicked out onto the street because he wanted to raise the rent. So the government should look into seizing all that foreign money, stopping all that foreign money from coming in to buy up America, because after a while it's not going to be American anymore. We're going to be owned by foreign governments, individuals.
All right.
It has been, unfortunately, in bits and pieces for years and years and years.
That's sad.
It is sad. Very, very sad.
Spencer, are you there? Yeah, he is. Spencer.
Huh?
Are you there, sir?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, tell me why the Lakers are testing LeBron with a new position. Why is that going on?
Just to have more dominance to his already greatness.
More dominance. What position are they testing him at?
They're not really testing him. He don't play. I mean, he's just one of those types that can just take a position. So to say that they're testing him, I mean, I guess, you know, you could say that, but he's quite a lot. He's centering forward. He's a shooting guard when he needs to be. So, I mean, for him, it, I don't think it would be new. Maybe the organization will, but to him, it won't be new. I'm just expecting to see how. I didn't watch the game, but from the highlights, it just seemed like they were kind of they were dominating with the team, and I think they might actually have a good team here. So, this year it works out, which I think it will. But I don't think it's a new position. I just think it's
on football. What's going on right now? Who's the number one team right now? Okay, Spencer, who's the number one team right now?
The number one team right now? I mean, after the hats, they're rolling. I would say they're probably still the strongest team, but I think they could be beaten by a pretty good team. But right now, I still say they're the strongest. Kansas City is probably really the strongest team. I think we'll have second by Kansas City. I think they're the strongest team out right now. Patriots second. And then, you have other good teams. You have Seattle. Right now, the Packers are smashing the Cowboys at home. Boom, boom. So, another loss for Cowboy Nation. And they're home. They're getting smashed 31-3. So, everybody had the Packers losing this game, really. But don't look that way. The Packers, they're starting to come into their own. The Seahawks, they won a wild game at home Thursday. And, they're a dangerous team down the street. It's still some good but I would say Kansas City is number one.
So why are you still in the top? Okay, go ahead.
Who's coming in?
I got Spencer, I got a sports question for you. I don't want you to answer it with whether it's good or bad. I would appreciate your answer whether you think it's going to happen or not. This discussion about starting to pay funds and royalties and whatever you want to call it to the college athletes. You think it's going to happen or not?
Well, it's already been signed into law, but it doesn't take effect, I want to say, in 2022.
Yeah.
So, at least in California, I think other states might start following suit, but they might. Because underneath the radar, it's already action. I mean,
well,
I kind of see
it
already. But now it'll just be more illegal. But I think now that I can get endorsed by Nike and make money for my likeness and myself, because me, these colleges are killing it. They say, yeah, we pay for your school, but you making maybe 30. Let's just say somebody right now, like, let me give you a big star. Let's say Trevor Lawrence at Clemson right now. The money they're making from his talent that I feel right now. It's tremendous. The stands is always packed, you know, so merchandise and all this goes in. I mean, you're making, and it's just one season, 4 years there, you're making a tremendous amount of money. So I think he's not going to get none of that. So Nike should be able to sign him so he can make some money, because what if he gets an injury in college, tears his ACL, you know, and then he plays. Next year, he's not really what he was. His stock drops. He doesn't go to the high pick. He goes in the NFL as, let's say, a fourth-round pick. He doesn't pan out. Now he's a backup. 3 years later, he's gone from the league. You know, and I made a little money, but I really ain't – that wasn't my dream. I really ain't make nothing from what the college made on me. I think how a lot of players do.
But Spencer, what do you say to the people that say the star athlete, whatever position he plays, let's keep it football, they don't do it alone. They have a team that helps him succeed. He has a special talent, but he doesn't do it by himself. Otherwise, we have one team against one person. It doesn't work that way. So what do you say to the ones that say, well, how come I get some of this? I mean, I help make this person famous or
that's a good point, but Nike's there for you to sign you. You know? And I would think it would just extend more from the quarterback. But those are the top positions. Quarterback, you would say college football, I would say running back. Running backs are considered at least a dumb position in college football. And I would say wide receivers. And maybe wide receivers first class with the line, because the offensive line, especially the left tackle, is prime. So, we go to the, let's say we go to the SEC. I mean, even though it's only in California right now, so the only people that will profit from that would be teams in the Pac-12. A couple, you know, some teams profit from that. But let's say it extends to the SEC. It would be more defensive-wise, because the SEC is fired off their defense a lot. So I think everybody will have their opportunity, and someone has to want to endorse you. That's the whole thing. They just want to get some money. It's not saying that the players have argued that we should get a percentage of what the college makes off us. They have argued that, but that wasn't signed for law yet. The law was defined that like someone. Like Nike or somebody could sponsor you in a dorm room, and you could make money off your game like while in school. So with that being said, you go ahead.
Hey Spencer, I got a question. What I'm curious to me is, okay, so the state of California made the ruling, but the NCAA still sanctioned. the schools, okay, athletics in schools. So the NCAA is saying they're not for this, but the California has. Have you heard anything or read anything about what the NCAA may do? Because what I'm thinking they may do is disqualify California teams from the bowl series or from being bowl eligible or TCS championship series. Because ultimately, you know, they have the last say so in how it's regulated.
True. Okay, and that's why I say when I think when a law comes into effect, then we'll see how it affects. But let's say the state of Georgia does that. Let's say Georgia. Let's say Southern State in the South does that, where you have the SEC, which we know is the money maker, is it's the powerhouse of all college football. Are you not gonna allow? Are they really not gonna allow? That's why we don't. Teams to not go to the championship game, I don't think they'll allow that. Because they know what fans want to see, and there's going to be so much backlash, but we still have to wait and see. But if it does go outside of California, I think everybody's kind of waiting to see how it will work. You know, and I guess it's just saying in college football for now, since these are boy athletes, if you will, I mean, it's maybe still to go to school. You know, but the thing that the school itself are making a tremendous amount of money on these players that if they get injured, they might get compensated a little bit, but that wasn't my dream. And we just see a lot of top tier players that was very good in college that they done pulled something up in college and it just didn't pan out in the NFL because of their injury and the fact that they wasn't compensated for how hard they ran or how many catches they had. You see that you know, they're living like a regular life now when that wasn't their dream. So I feel like they should be compensated if a Nike decides to, because Nike's probably already sponsored. Look at Oregon. Nike sponsors the team already. So why not we just sponsor this guy right here who, what they do in that in basketball?
But,
well,
Spencer, you said it. They sponsor the team. If they don't find some sort of way, and I don't know the answer, to disperse funds that should go to the players in some fashion, that it's benefited by more than just the superstar. However, that happens on their hands, it is not going to work out at all.
I think what we're saying is that in general, we want to make sure that the very basic people that are playing these guys and making sure all of this money. At the very least, I feel like we could at least set up some type of plan or procedure for them. It's an argument.
Next week, same time, 6 o'clock. So I'll do
no, no,
No, next week, David.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. Columbus week. Columbus holiday. So we won't be on the air next week. But you can listen to it. What is the previous show? Have a great week, everybody. Thanks, guys.
Take care, guys. God bless.
Have a great week. I have a great week. Okay.